Welcome to the Drop Time Report. Turn up the volume and listen to amazing stories about big bucks and the hunters who harvested them. Here is your host, outdoor writer, Tracy Breen.
On this week's episode of the Drop Time Report, we're going to switch gears and talk about a monster bear. We're going to interview Clay Newcomb, the publisher of Bear Hunting Magazine and the host of Bear Horizon, an online TV show that focuses on bear hunting. And Clay has been chasing a bear he called Batman in the state of Oklahoma for many years. And this year he finally put it all together and killed that bear on opening day of bear season in Oklahoma. The bear is a booner, at least right now as it is being green scored, it is a booner. And today he's going to highlight how he's been chasing that bear for years and how he finally put it all together. But before we get Clay on the phone, I'd like to thank my sponsors. Title sponsor, Redneck Blinds, Fourth Arrow Camera Arms, Windscent, Lucky Buck, Huntworth, Morel Targets, Grim Reaper Broadheads, Pine Ridge Archery, Schaefer Performance Archery, Outdoorsman's, and Wilderness Athlete Nutritional Products. If you're interested in losing weight or trying to just stay in shape, check out wildernessathlete.com. Check out their energy drinks and their nutritional bars and some of the things that they offer. If you enter drop 10 at the checkout, you'll get 10% off your order. Once again, wildernessathlete.com. Now let's go ahead and get Clay Newcomb on the phone. Welcome to the Drop Time Report, Clay. How are you today?
Good morning, Tracy. I'm doing good.
Congratulations on that big bear.
Thank you, sir. I'm still getting the bear grease out of my clothes and fingernails.
Now, do you, in the day and age where everybody tries to use everything out of bear, do you do anything with the fat or grease?
I do. On a bear like this, I didn't have a need for all that he had. I mean, this bear probably had 100 pounds of pure lard. I saved a big chunk of it almost for just out of respect for the animal and almost out of, I don't know if nostalgia is the right word, but almost every bear I keep a portion of the fat and render it down. And, that bear fat stays good for actually a couple of years. I'll put it in clear glass jars and give it away as gifts and use it throughout the year for the odd cooking project. And it's just kind of a neat thing. I mean, there's so much history with bears and utilizing all the commodities that they have, from fur to fat to meat, claws and teeth. You know, I mean, there's this unique animal, and I really do my best to utilize it all.
So are you telling me you give away bear fat as Christmas presents?
Hey, man, listen to this. We're doing a little remodel in our house, and I tried to get my contractor to trade me bear fat for a section of the work. And he thought about it for a minute, and then he denied the offer.
Oh, man. He must not be a true Arkansas hillbilly then.
I know, man. This stuff doesn't grow on trees. You got to work hard to get a quart of bear fat.
So let's talk about this bear. You had told me when I talked to you about him that you were chasing him for many, many years. How many years do you feel like you were chasing this monster bear?
Well, we gained access to this property in 2014. And so that was the first year that we hunted it. And so this is actually the fifth year that we've hunted. So 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. So this is the fifth year. And he was one of the first bears the big bears that we were getting pictures of on this property. And, you know, all these big bears, when you look at a lot of them, you can begin to distinguish them apart. You know, they'll have certain characteristics, and all these bears have different body types, and some of them are taller and longer, some of them are shorter and not as long. even older age class boars. So you might have just a huge older age class boar that's 10 years old, but his frame may not be as big as the next one, you know? So anyway, you can distinguish these bears. A lot of these bears in Oklahoma are tagged as well. So that's a really good distinguishing factor if he has ear tags. And anyway, this bear, so we had pictures of him for 5 years and I called him Batman. He was just jet black, deep black. And that sounds funny because it's a black bear and most black bears are black, but some of them, when you start looking at pictures, they're all just slightly different. Some of them kind of have a dusty color. The texture of the fur is different. They're all really unique. And anyway, this guy was just super black. But the distinguishing characteristic about him to me was his ears. For a big bear, he had these big curly ears. And to me, it looked like a guy wearing a Batman cape, you know, the little Batman ears sticking up. And so we started calling him Batman 5 years ago. And he was extremely nocturnal and was he was never even a bear that we thought we could really harvest. I mean, you know, when you're kind of like a big buck, you know, there's some bucks that are killable and huntable just by the way they act, where they're at, things that they do that you can kind of take advantage of. And then there are some bucks that you're just like, man, he's so sporadic, or he's so nocturnal, or he's so in such this difficult location. It's hard to, you're just wasting your time almost hunting him. That's what this bear was to us. And until this year. So
yeah. So let's talk about maybe before we get into the hunt, the reason that they can be very hard to kill is because of their nose, right? I mean, they just can smell you. I think a lot of people think bears are dumb, and if you throw a donut on the ground, he's going to come in and eat it regardless. But a big bear, an old bear like this, he's been to more than one bait pile in his life, and he learns to either check the wind or just come in at night, correct?
That's absolutely correct. When you're dealing with a bear over bait, they are an older age class boar over bait is one of the most difficult animals to hunt. And an animal doesn't reason, so I don't want to give them that much credit, but they know the game so well. And it's different than hunting a big whitetail. I mean, it's almost like a big whitetail just reacts based upon instinctual desire to survive. So he smells a human, bam, he's gone and never comes back. These bears, they know there's a human involved. They know when you're there, and they just play the game, and they rarely lose, you know? And the other thing about these bears that kind of gives them the reputation of not being afraid of people is that these younger bears and lesser bears and even sows, older mature sows, for whatever reason, they will sometimes come in knowing that you're there. And so it gives you this impression that bears just aren't that afraid of you. They are not a prey animal. So and that's a complex thing too. They're not a prey animal. They don't have that flight response like a deer would. Like a doe deer would be absolutely intolerant of human scent and go the other way in almost every situation. But these bears, sometimes they might smell you and just come on in anyway and give you the impression that they're not that sharp. But these older boars rarely do that. And so they just learn the game and you just can't hardly beat them. So, and that's what makes it fun. And Tracy, the other thing, and this is probably even a bigger factor than the scent factor, is that these bears want natural food more than they want anything that you could put out for them. I mean, we have spared no expense or amount of effort to get the highest quality bait that we can get and put it out. And these bears would rather eat acorns, hickory nuts, and black gum this time of year than they would our best unnatural bait that we put out for them. And so what happens, and part of the reason this bear has been unkillable too, is not just because we're hunting him and he knows it, but just because he's just not there consistently. And so a lot of things lined up this year where he was consistent on the bait, and then we had our secret weapon, which we'll talk about.
Sure, sure. Now, also talk about the fact that you had mentioned to me that, okay, this bear was 550 pounds. He's a big, big bear. There's a lot of bear hunting pressure in Oklahoma, in the surrounding states. And, you know, what are the odds of killing a bear that big? I mean, there's a lot of bears that big out there, but how many of them actually get killed?
Well, I don't have a great answer for that, but I can tell you what I've learned the last few years. So Oklahoma has a limited bear hunt. It's only in four counties that you can hunt bear. And I want to say the highest harvest that they've ever had was like 85 bears taken in the whole state. So it's a small hunt. And they don't keep records for weight, but I want to say last year, the biologist told me that maybe the biggest bear killed last year was in the 400-pound range. And so this year, on the first day when I went to check in the bear, in Oklahoma, you have to actually take the animal, or the hide and head anyway, to a wildlife biologist. They pull a tooth, they check the wingspan, and get the square of the bear and take some data. And he said they had already checked two bears that were probably bigger than mine. So they didn't know that for sure because the scales bottomed out at 550. That's what I was told. So it's not even probably the biggest bear taken in Oklahoma this year. But that being said, last year the biggest one they took was a 400 pounder. So this is just an exceptional year for bear in terms of just their health and their size. Because like a bear like this, like next year, this bear may have weighed 475. You know, like it's all dependent upon how well they do throughout the year. It's dependent upon the blackberries and the blueberries and the walking stick population and the ants, how good they do. I mean, all this natural food. If there's bumper crops of that, then these bears get fat, and that's what they did this year.
Okay, so they actually eat walking sticks, huh?
Oh, they, you know, a bear's diet here in Arkansas anyway, in Arkansas and Oklahoma basically are the same regional population of bears. 85% of a bear's diet here is plant matter, which is going to be anything from soft mast like berries, persimmons and blackberries and blueberries and all this stuff to they graze on clover and grass and different things. 15% is animal matter. And of that 15%, the studies that they've done, 85% of the 15% was insects. So they're eating grubs, they're eating ants. This time of year, when you walk out in the woods, I've heard lots of people say it, the walking sticks are, I mean, just, I don't know how many there are, billions. I mean, literally, walking sticks are eating the woods down in a lot of parts of Arkansas and Oklahoma. And I had a buddy that took a bear one time, this time of year, just out in the national forest. And he said his stomach was full of walking sticks. He said you couldn't have crammed another walking stick in there.
So, that's the first I've ever heard that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they're opportunistic omnivores. They will eat anything. And they love ants. I mean, it's amazing that a big animal like that would, I mean, they eat ants, they eat yellow jacket nests. One of the biggest signs of bears that I find this time of year, just like if I'm hunting in a national forest, not over bait, is you'll see dugout holes and they're eating yellow jacket nests, and they'll dig down and eat the larvae out of a yellow jacket nest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, you know, we'll talk now about the secret weapon, and it's, before we start, it is no secret that redneck blinds is the title sponsor of this podcast, and I work very closely with Redneck Blinds, and that's kind of how this happened. You called me, you know, a year and a half ago, and we were talking about, you know, a bear's ability to smell, how it compared to a whitetail, and I was explaining how, you know, these redneck blinds really are airtight in a lot of ways, and that got your wheels turning, and you decided, hey, let's try bear hunting from a redneck blind.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it the thought of an airtight blind, you know, I thought about it several years ago, and I thought about like building one. Like I envisioned like building this like plywood box and sealing the joints with caulk, and you know, in after a while I was like, in talking with you, I was like, man, they already make this. I don't need to fabricate something that's probably not even going to be as good, or I know it won't be as good. And but the whole point of it was, every time you're bear hunting in these mountains, even if there's a prevailing wind that your stand is set up for, I mean, because you do hunt these bears like whitetails in that, you know, you set your stand such that the prevailing winds are blowing your scent away from where these animals are coming from. And that typically works with deer, and it typically works in areas that have really consistent wind. But these bears are in the rugged Ozark and Washita Mountains of Arkansas and Southeast Oklahoma. And anybody that's hunted here will tell you that there are no consistent winds. I mean, like, and so what happens is you climb into your tree stand, and yeah, the wind is hitting you in the face, blowing the way you need it to for 60% of the afternoon. And the other 40%, the wind is swirling. Just the karst nature of the topography here, just that's just the way it is. And it's hot, and so, you know, I think the heat and the thermals, there's just a lot of factors going on with scent, and so you just can't get away from them. And I have yet to do that. There are probably guys that have a few setups that are kind of unbeatable, like maybe using a big bluff or something, like where their scent is literally blowing off the side of a big bluff. We have some bluffs here, but in most places you just can't get away from them. And so what these bears do is they are around that bait. They don't go far from it. Like a big bear that's really keying in on a bait, like he's probably not more than 300 yards from that bait anytime during the day when he's really keying in with that as his major food source. So anytime that wind is blowing wrong, he is smelling you. So, I mean, he knows you're there potentially hours before he even plans to come in, you know, because, you know, you get, let's say you get into your stand at 3:30 and he doesn't show up till 6:30 and you think, well, good, I'm 3 hours early, man, he already knows you're there. So that is the challenge of this kind of hunting. And do you want me to jump to us putting in the blind and everything, Tracy?
I want to talk about that because, you know, with deer hunting, I think it's easier to put up one of these blinds than the situation that you were in. I mean, we talked about it once you had the blind, once you picked up the blind. I mean, you had to do a lot of work to the land in order to get this blind in there. It wasn't like sitting it on the edge of a food plot. It was a major thing to get it in there, correct?
Yeah, so this property, it's funny you said I didn't put it on the edge of food plot because we actually did, but there's more okay. to it. So early August is when we kind of pulled the trigger and said, hey, let's try this. We got a redneck buck palace blind. And I actually drove up to Lamar, Missouri and met with a guy at Redneck and TJ and just had a cool time up there with them. Brought this redneck blind home, and me and dad and my boys spent about 3 days building a road, a new road to the food plot. Basically, this food plot, we just kind of had like a skitter trail up a steep portion of mountain that got to this food plot. I mean, you could drive a tractor up there, but it was touch and go. You needed a four-wheel drive tractor. There's no way you could have even driven a full-size pickup truck up there. And so we had to build about a 300 yard or more long road through dense forest. So we spent about 3 days cutting trees and doing dirt work, and we built this road into the food plot. And I'll tell you why I put it in this food plot is like a quarter acre opening. It's the only opening on that property. All the rest of the property is 15 to 20 year old replanted pine. And the reason I put it there, Tracy, was these bears want to be in the thick stuff. They don't want to be in a food plot eating. Bears they're black. They're designed to live in the shadows. They're an animal of the shadows. They don't want to be out in the open. But at the same time, this was a pretty big investment with this blind, and I wanted to be able to use it for deer hunting too. So what I thought was, I'll put it on the edge of the food plot. Around the food plot is super thick, and I'll put the bear bait back in the woods, kind of over the lip of a little bit of a ridge, kind of down. And then, so I'll be able to bear hunt in the early season, and then I'll be able to deer hunt the food plot. And even the wind worked out great. Like, in the early season, winds are coming out of the south and southwest, blowing my scent into the food plot, which is ideal for the bear situation, because the bears don't want to come to the food plot. The food plot forces them to come from a direction other than the north. And so that's early season, which is perfect. And then when I'm deer hunting, the blind is on the southwest side. And by deer season, the prevailing winds will be out of the north, which will be blowing my scent back down in this big canyon away from the food plot. So it's a perfect situation for bear early season, deer late. I know those directions probably are confusing, but basically it's the perfect setup for a dual purpose blind.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of work went into it. Obviously it paid off. You put the blind in. The first picture you sent me of the blind being up was of a bear actually climbing up the steps of the redneck blind. And then you had your cameras out. How quickly after you started putting bait out near that blind did that big bear show up?
You know, bears showed up within about 36 hours, I think, of us putting out some bait. And they were never afraid of the blind. The big bears didn't show up till later. They actually didn't show up for about 3 weeks, the big ones. But it wasn't because they were afraid of the blind. They just weren't there, you know. But, one of our questions that was unanswered until now was, would the bears tear up the blind? Bears are notorious for tearing up anything, any type of petroleum product. I mean, anything plastic, they just want to chew on it and eat it. And so it was a little bit of a question of whether they would do that to our blind. And they didn't mess with it at all. I mean, the bears climbed up the stairs there a couple times. And I had the option to take the ladder off. And I would probably
Which I think you should have done.
Well, you know what? I know you told me, you were like, you better take those stairs down. I kind of wanted to just see what they would do. And they didn't mess with it. So now that they did not mess with it, I probably will take it down, because I know that they won't. I don't know. That's probably doesn't make sense.
Well, I think you might be playing Russian roulette a little bit. Like, sooner or later, there's going to be a bear that says, "Hey, look at that big green box. I think I'm going to go eat that."
Yeah. Yeah. And when we're done, I'm going to take it down. I'm going to for sure take that ladder down. So, yeah.
So you had two big bears showing up, correct?
That's right. Yeah, there was there was another bear on this bait, a yellow tag bear. He had two yellow tags, and he as well has been on the property since 2014 when I started hunting it. And this was the interesting part, and it's truly a testament to conservation and the management that's happening in Oklahoma with these two older age class boars, giant boars, is that the bear that I killed was the lesser of the two. And we actually thought that the one I killed, we were just guessing the weight. I thought he weighed between 400 and 450. Okay. Because this other bear was, we felt like, 100 pounds bigger, 75 to 100 pounds bigger than this Batman bear. So really, this other bear was the bear we really wanted, but you know, you just can't pass up a 400 plus pound bear. So I was going to take either one and be happy. But so when I ended up harvesting the small bear, quote unquote, he weighed 550 yeah. pounds. So
wow.
The other bear, who knows what he weighs, but he's bigger, you know.
Okay.
Who knows?
Now let's go and talk about, you know, the day of the kill. Was it opening day?
It was opening day. Yep.
Okay. Yep. And you climb up in the redneck, you're hoping it's scent free enough. Do you have one window open, two windows open, no windows open? What was your game plan there?
Well, the situation was so, well, let me back up a little bit. You got to hunt these bears quick because they will leave you. They will leave you high and dry. You know, the season dates are such that right now guys are losing bears left and right to natural food. And so if you've got bears on opening day, man, you better be hunting because 3 days from now you may not have any bears. And so everything was right on this. And I mean, it just rarely happens in hunting when everything is right. And so I was going into this hunt. I talked to a friend on the way down and I said, man, everything is so perfect. It's actually making me nervous, you know? And I had all these guys on call, my dad, James Lawrence, Ryan Greb, they were literally sitting by their phones waiting for me to call them so that they could come help me. And I was trying not to, you know, jinx myself. All the hunters know this, you know.
Yeah.
My dad was like, well, I'm going to get the tractor loaded up this afternoon, so when you call, I can come. And I said, man, don't load the tractor. Don't do it, Dad. I said, wait until I call you. And I think secretly he loaded the tractor before I called him. But you know how it is. So it's like everything was perfect. And so, Tracy, I was going to, I mean, I just know how rare of an opportunity this was, and I was going to take no shortcuts. And so I walked to the blind, and when I first stepped, I come in from the food plot side, and when I first walked into the food plot, the wind was blowing out in the southwest, perfect, hitting me in the face, blowing my scent away from the bears, and I started just kind of tiptoeing to the blind, and I looked down over there, and there's a bear there. So at 3 o'clock, 2:45, there was a bear at the bait. And as I'm standing there trying to figure out what to do, the wind shifts and starts hitting me in the back of the neck, blowing my scent right in to where those bears are. And I thought, well, that's going to spook this bear and just get out of here. Or I knew I was going to spook him anyway with scent. And I thought, the longer I'm out of that blind, more I'm telling this big bear that's just out of sight somewhere that I'm here. And so I chunked a rock at that bear just over, you know, 10 feet from him and just scared the dog out of him. And he took off running. And then I went and climbed up in the blind and I shut all the doors and all the windows. And it was 87 degrees, 90% humidity. And as we discussed earlier, Tracy, the only negative side to this hot weather blind hunting with all the windows closed, it was ridiculously hot. But you know, it was a small price to pay. I had a battery powered fan in there with me.
Okay.
Yeah, I just had it blowing I set it right down almost under my chair. It was blowing up on my face, kind of in between my feet, you know, and had plenty of water. Just was really prepared. And I was actually prepared to stay the night, Tracy. These bears weren't coming in every evening. I mean, they're just unpredictable. And so if he did not show up that evening, I was going to spend the night in the blind and be there at shooting light the next morning, because you can't hunt these bears in the morning, these big ones. Lots of guys kill bears in the morning, but if you're hunting a big one, you're playing Russian roulette by walking in there in the dark. Because what happens is these bears come in the afternoon, and then they'll stay there all night. And I'm not kidding. They'll stay there all night long until daylight. And a lot of times they'll leave just after shooting light. And so you walk in there 2 hours before daylight thinking that you're going to slip in on these bears. Man, a lot of times you're going to bump that bear. And when you bump that bear, his whole routine is thrown off. He's like, why was there a human in here at 3 a.m.? You know, it gets them moving into their secretive mode. So you can't hardly hunt these big bears in the mornings. So that was my strategy to hunt the morning and stay the night in the blind. But luckily I didn't have to. It probably would have been a little uncomfortable.
So did you open a vertical window then while he was at the bait, or did you already have it open?
I did not open it until I was ready to shoot. I did not open it. Probably three times in the 3 hours I was there, Tracy, I would open a window, maybe to clean. I cleaned a couple of windows, you know, and I stuck my head out a couple of times and just got some fresh air. But yeah. Basically, I really kept all the windows shut until he was there. So,
okay. And how far a shot was it to the bait?
It was too close. I probably next year I might move my setup a little bit further back, but it was probably 8 yards. I mean, he was just right in my pocket when I opened that door. And what happened was when I got there, you know, there was a bear there, caught him in the stand. Probably an hour and a half later, maybe 2 hours later, a sow with two yearling cubs came in, and they were at the bait for a long period of time. And the sow at about 6:15, 6:10, she throws up her head and just starts giving the bear stare down the mountain. I mean, just like a deer would if another deer was coming up. You know, it's such an indicator of another animal's coming. Yeah. This bear just, bam, just looks, and the cubs look. And they look and look and look and look and look. And finally, she just takes off huffing and blowing and just busting down the woods, all three of these bears just running off. And that's when I said, he's coming. It's him. Because a lot of times these sows are pretty pushy. And if a lesser bear shows up, they'll just run the bear off. But the way this sow responded, it told me that it was a dominant bear that was coming in. Yeah, it was. And I didn't see him until he was probably 15 yards away. The bait's super thick around it, and that's the way I wanted it. But it's not like I could see him coming for 50 yards. I wish I could have. It would have been fun to have watched him walk in, but I mean, it's just like, bam, he was there. And when I first saw him, I mean, he was in shooting range. And being in the presence of an animal like that, a world-class animal, I mean, whether it be a moose or a whitetail or a black bear, to me as a hunter it's kind of like a sacred moment, you know, truly is. I mean, when I saw that bear, it just almost took my breath away. I mean, his legs look like telephone poles, and he was, your eyes get used to seeing like an average animal. And so for all this time, you just see a bear and you're like, okay, that's what a bear looks like, you know? And then when you see him, it's like twice as big as a normal bear. And it's just an amazing experience. And he, he never knew I was there. I mean, he never knew I was there. He just walked in unreserved and just immediately took up a good shooting position. And I wasted no time. You know, I filmed all these hunts for our Bear Hunting Magazine YouTube channel and the DVD and stuff we make. And you know, it would have been really neat to watch him for a little while, but man, I just wasn't going to take any chances. So, I mean, yeah, about as quick as I saw him, I knew that I had to act and took the bear and made a good shot, And these big bears, if you hit them right, they really don't have much stamina if you hit them right. And so it worked out great.
Now, you have one mistake I think a lot of bear hunters make, or I will say whitetail hunters that convert, is they don't hit them right just because their vitals are placed a little bit different. And I know you got hooked up with Tanner at Morrell, and they gave you a Morrell 3D bear target. When you shoot bears, I mean, do you make mistakes very often? Or for the most part, you've killed enough of them now, you know right where to aim, and you're practicing on a 3D target? I mean, does that help you
at all,
do you think?
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely helps. And yeah, I still make mistakes. I mean, my compound bow, it's easier. I mean, the limiting factor is not your shooting, you know. But it's so, even on this bear, he came in and he was at a slightly awkward angle because he actually leaned down. Like he had his rear end in the air. And he had an elbow on the ground, but his front shoulder was fully extended. And man, I thought long and hard and analyzed it in my mind, picking a spot before I shot. Because the thing with these bears is they can do a lot of stuff that a deer can't. Their bodies are flexible. They can sit down. They can stand on their hind legs. They can put their feet up on a log. They can do all this different stuff. So there's more options for a shot going wrong, if I can say it that way. And,
sure.
And I tell you what, I hate to say it, but a lot of guys lose bears, just because they take a marginal shot and don't even realize it. That bears, he needs to either be broadside or slightly quartering. And he needs to have that front leg either straight down or extended forward. And so even at 8 yards with a compound bow, I was deeply considering the shot before I took it. So.
And you're normally a traditional guy, right?
That's right. I mean, I still do a fair amount of hunting with a compound. It all depends on what I feel like needs to be the limiting factor of the hunt. I mean, the only reason we bow hunt is because we're placing self-imposed limitation on ourselves for the purpose of greater fulfillment inside the hunt. So on this hunt, I did not want the weapon to be the limiting factor. And it is a funny story for you, Tony. You know, Clay Newcomb, Mr. Prepared. I was going to shoot the trad bow up until 3 days before season when I actually brought the trad bow into that redneck blind and I could not shoot it out of that blind. It's 56 inches long. I mean, you know, you just need a lot of space. And I may have been able to shoot it, but it would have dramatically limited where I could shoot. And I immediately was just like, man, I don't want to have to think about these limbs thumping the top of this blind, you know, when this bear walks up. And so I actually right now do not have a compound bow in shooting order. And so I went to my buddy Aaron Weiss at Outdoor America in Springdale, a bow shop here around, and he let me borrow his bow. So I killed this bear with a borrowed bow.
That's awesome.
It was a Matthews. Awesome. I'm going to be getting a new bow from Matthews in late October. So I that's part of the reason I didn't have one is I'm getting one in October. So. But it worked out great.
Now, tell me the sizes of the bear. He right now, as a green score, he is a Booner. Give me the dimensions of his hide and everything as well.
Yeah, to me, that was the most impressive thing about the spare. And if you heard some of the other stuff I've talked about and other stuff, a 7-foot square bear is a giant bear. A lot of people throw that 7-foot square around, especially in Canada. That's the way they measure them a lot. And up until this bear, I have never laid my eyes on a 7-foot square bear. And people may, I mean, it's like every bear hunter says they've killed a 7-foot bear. Well, I've killed another 500-pound bear, a 435-pound bear. I mean, I've killed some good bears, and not one of them squared 7 foot. Not even close to it, really. The biggest one was about 6'8", the way that I measure them. Okay. I think guys, you know, tend to, maybe not on purpose, but exaggerate.
Embellish. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And maybe not embellish, but just do it wrong. Just not really measure it right, you know? And so I'm not taking anything away from anybody else, but I'm just telling you, I've never seen with my own eyes a bear that squared 7 foot. And this bear, a green hide with no skull in it. He had an 8-foot, I mean, to the inch, 8-foot wingspan from claw to claw on the front.
Wow.
And he was 7 foot to the inch, nose to the end of his tail. So from the very tip of his nose to the end of his tail, with no skull in his hide, he was 7 foot. So that put him at exactly 7'6" square. So
wow.
The hide was, to me, impressive. Actually, I killed a grizzly last year in Alaska that had the identical measurements, Tracy. It's funny. That Alaskan brown bear, it was a mature female Alaskan brown bear. And she was 8 foot, had an 8-foot wingspan and 7-foot nose to tail. So, I mean, just like this bear. Yeah.
So how old do you, I mean, you're going to get the tooth back and know exactly how old, but just give us a rough estimate. You think he's somewhere north of 10 years old and could be as much as 15?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he wasn't in that range. And that's all just going off of tooth wear and just body characteristics, you know, just, he's just old, you know. But tooth wear, I learned from Randy Cross up in Maine, kind of one of the premier biologists in the country. Tooth wear isn't always an indication of age, because he says that he sees 5-year-old bears that have rotten teeth, and he'll see 15-year-old bears with good teeth. And he thinks it has to do with the actual genetics of the makeup of their teeth and how they resist or don't resist decay. I mean, kind of just like in humans, you know, some people just,
sure, yeah,
they don't get cavities, and some people do. So tooth wear is a little bit, is a total guess. But it's certainly an indicator. And this bear, you know, these big bears, I mean, one of the really prominent features of these animals is these huge canines, you know, that are about as thick as your thumb, you know, 4 big canines. And this bear had broke off all 4 canines. So he didn't even have a single one. And his teeth were wore down good. So, but they did pull a tooth on him, and they'll annuli, you know, that cementum, what do they call it? They'll cut it in half, do a cross section, and count the rings, basically just like in a tree, and okay, get a very accurate estimate of his age. So, but
that's awesome.
You asked me about the score, Tracy. This is one of the cool things about bears, is you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you just never know. I mean, like, honestly, in my heart, I would have bet my truck that this bear scored 21 inches, but he didn't. He scored 20 2/16", which, so in the Boone and Crockett record books, a 20-inch bear makes the Boone and Crockett Awards. So your name, I mean, at the Boone and Crockett bear is 20 inches. The all-time, yeah, the all-time entry is 21. And so really what you're hoping for is that 21-inch mark. And I have never taken a bear that was over. I mean, I've never taken a 21-inch bear. And so a lesser bear that I took in 2015 on the same property actually had a bigger skull than this bear. A bear that weighed 360 pounds had a bigger skull. But I tried to explain this to my dad, the difference between a 21 inch bear and a bear that scores 20 2/16 is 14/16. So that's an inch spread out over two measurements, less than an inch spread out over two measurements, length and width. So you could not even tell that difference with your naked eye. You know, a lot of guys, when they see bear pictures, I hear it all the time. They're like, man, that bear's got a huge head. He's got a huge head. That bear will score Boone and Crockett. Man, you can't tell. I mean, a half an inch, quarter inch on each side of his face, a quarter inch in the back and in the front is, you can't see it with your eyes. And these big bears are so fat. They've got a tremendous amount of meat and fat on their head, you know? And so when you whittle it down, the skull is actually a lot smaller, but I don't care. You know, I mean, it was a phenomenal animal and I don't, you know, I'm not worried about the score at all, but so it was.
Well, hunt of a lifetime for sure.
Yeah. It was the biggest body weight bear that I've ever taken. For sure.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations on that. That's, as I said to you when you text me a picture, I love it when a plan comes together. And let's face it, in hunting, that often isn't the case. So to go through all the work of pulling a blind in there and putting it up and then having it pay off, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, thank you. It really was. It really does come together. Tracy, I just want to say every time I've made a comment about this bear online and even in the videos and stuff, I really want to just emphasize, you know, we talk, it's easy on a big animal like this to focus on how big it is just because it's impressive. And that's what hunters like. That's what I like. I want to kill big animals. I don't want to kill small animals. But I because he's so big, there's so much focus on that. I mean, what I really want to tell people and focus on myself is that older age class boars like that are an indication of a whole lot of great stuff from a conservation perspective that's happening in Oklahoma and in Arkansas as well. But these older age class boars are indicator animals. They indicate that the population dynamics are strong. They indicate that the habitat is good. They indicate that the bears are thriving. And so to me, killing a bear like this is really a celebration of conservation, a celebration of hunters. You know, hunters are the ones that reintroduced bears back into this region in the 1950s and 60s. That bear, this was absolutely black bear's native range, you know, up until about 1900, when civilization, landscape level logging, and market hunting, which we know market hunting has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with what we do today. And the bears were wiped out, totally wiped out. And if it had been left up to the people who didn't give a darn, we still wouldn't have bears in this country, in this part of the world. But hunters traded wild turkey and bass for black bears from Minnesota and Canada, brought them back in the 1950s and 60s without any public input. It was almost like a covert operation. And they reintroduced these bears. And for 20 years, they thought it was a failure. They reintroduced 254 bears between 1954 and 1964, something like that. And for 20 years, they thought, man, that was a flop. And then about 25 years after it, people started saying, hey, there's a bear at my house. Hey, somebody saw a bear across the road over there. Hey, somebody saw a bear back in White Rock. And then in 1988 and through 1990, they did the first study on Arkansas black bears. And they were just astonished because these 254 bears had reproduced by tenfold. And they estimated to be 2,500 bears in Arkansas in 1990 from those 254. And those bears today, Tracy, have spread out literally hundreds of miles. And they're now in southern Missouri. They're in northern Louisiana. They're in northeast Texas. They're in southeast Oklahoma. And they're in western Mississippi. Every direction that the bears could move, they have moved. And they're absolutely thriving. And man, when somebody on Facebook, which has already happened to me, points a finger and says, "Why are you killing these bears?" Man, I just shake my head and I just want to sit down and have a reasonable conversation with them and say, "We are the good guys. These are the irrefutable facts of wildlife conservation, and you are crazy and we are sane." You know, I mean, it just blows my mind. And by me harvesting this big old bear, it's a testament to what's happened here over the last 75 years. It's a celebration of that. So
that's awesome. It's very cool. And you and I have talked a lot about bears over the years, just because you publish a bear hunting magazine, and a lot of whitetail hunters have never even, climbed into a tree and went after a bear. As you said earlier, I think a lot of people think of them as maybe a dumb animal or it's not a challenge. And I remember the first time I climbed into a tree and shot a bear. It was, an awesome experience. And it is certainly something every whitetail hunter in North America should try, whether they hunt bears in their home state, if they go to Canada or Alaska or wherever. Bear hunting is a lot of fun. It's a challenge. And when prepared correctly, their meat is good too.
Yeah. Bears are the icon of North American wilderness. All the great sportsmen in our hunting heritage in this country, man, they all identified themselves as bear hunters, from Teddy Roosevelt to Daniel Boone. And to me, that's kind of what we're reviving, is that kind of like that spirit of the iconic American hunter, and black bears, whatever's happening ecologically in North America today is beneficial to black bears. And we also know that black bears are ungulate predators, fawn predators. And so it's like we're having this increase in bear population in almost every place they live. They're spreading their range. Not only is it just an opportunity for hunters to have a great hunt, we need bear hunters. We need bear hunters. We need guys going to Canada and hunting these bears that are around these vulnerable populations of moose and caribou. We need hunters, here in Arkansas, taking bears. So it's kind of a unique situation that we're in.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I appreciate your time today, and good luck with the rest of your season, and hopefully you can fill the freezer with some more critters this fall.
Thanks a lot, Tracy.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Over the years, Clay and I have talked a lot about bear hunting, and one thing that both Clay and I like about bear hunting is most of the time you hunt bears in wild places, and a lot of adventure hunts that take place in extremely wild places cost a lot of money, and that's not the case with bear hunting. You can go on a guided bear hunt relatively inexpensively, and the success rate is oftentimes near 100%. So if you've never been on a bear hunt, consider going on one. Thanks for listening today. To learn more about me, visit TracyBreen.com. Thanks.